Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's Todd Tomasella with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, and I've got Travis Bryan III on the line. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Good to be with you again this morning.
Absolutely. We've got a current event type of a little program and discussion we're going to have today. Based on a current event, Saints, where a cross was removed from a small town in Indiana, at the center of the town, a physical cross, that is, recently, as the story goes. And some of the Christians got upset, you know, obviously, and they went out and protested with holding physical crosses, etc. But also, Brother Travis, the Christians of the city, let me back up a little bit. The man responsible for having this cross removed by calling in the ACL, let's see, American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, he had it removed, and the township couldn't afford or didn't want to, you know, battle the ACLU in court, so they just went ahead and took the cross down out of the center of their city. And the Christians, Brother Travis, as we know, began to help the mother of the man who had this cross removed. I believe she's terminally ill. And so the believers in that city began to donate to the medical hospital bill, the fund, to pay for this atheist mother's medical bills. And that really took me back, if you will, in a good way, and demonstrates perhaps how the cross is to be applied. You know, Brother Travis, we see people today, as we have for a few decades, carrying wooden crosses. I know, well, apparently they're well-meaning, but is that really what Christ meant when he said to take up the cross, Brother Travis, to create a wooden cross and drag it across the city or state or nation? Is that really what Jesus had in mind, Brother Travis, when in all of the Gospels, in one way or the other, he said we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And of course, we Western Christianity wants to externalize everything and make it carrying a wooden cross down the roadway. And I grieve, Todd, because I wonder if these Christians who were so outraged really had the cross as the prominent place in their heart, or had it been taken down by themselves, you see. Mm-hmm. This cross we need to carry with us every day in our heart. We need to live this cross lifestyle and allow no one to take that down in our heart. Yeah. But to get to your example, this is a beautiful illustration, Todd, of how love overcomes evil, of how good overcomes evil. And when they blessed the people that had done this, the miraculous mystery of the cross, God's power goes into effect there in that moment. And people are transformed. You know, the very people that perpetrate these deeds are transformed by our love in return, Todd. That's the mystery of the cross right there.
Amen. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. And a couple of scriptures, Brother Travis, come to mind when you're talking. Remember, of course, Jesus said, they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:23-24, and then also the Apostle Paul says, for we are the circumcision New Testament believers, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And so we worship God in the Spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence or don't put emphasis on the fleshly things. Now, before we go back to the cross that was removed, the physical cross that was removed from the small Indiana town, what is your take on people? Because we've never talked about this, but I was interested in knowing your take, Brother Travis, on people who, you know, create physical wooden crosses and carry them, you know, on a crusade for Christ, if you will, across, you know, towns, states, even the nation. What is your take on that, brother?
Well, I'm not going to say they're wrong. The thing is, though, that is the cross in their heart. That's the key. You know, do we carry the cross daily in our heart? It's okay to wear a cross around your neck or to put one on your dashboard, but it's not a lucky charm. It's a symbol of what we're carrying around in our heart, Todd, and as long as it's kind of like water baptism, you know, water baptism symbolizes something we've had in our heart. But if you start making water salvific, then you got a real problem. If you make that cross on your dashboard a lucky charm, then you've missed it.
Amen. Amen. In fact, Romans 6 comes to mind about baptism, which he's not talking about water baptism. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice the walk.
Let me comment on that. Todd, I've done a lot of study on that passage in Romans 6, and do you know that I would say possibly a majority of theologians, Orthodox Baptist theologians, or not Baptist, but Protestant, believe that that is talking about water there. And I just vehemently disagree that that is talking about a spirit baptism there, not water, Todd. And so what the devil has allowed, he's so good at is he drags the spiritual and the interior truths of the cross, he drags them out into the external, and makes it water or makes it a wooden cross carrying somebody's carrying down the road. And he causes us to miss the great internal blessing of the cross and the resurrection. So Todd, as a result, this passage, this great passage in Romans is gathering dust, sitting on seminary shelves under this misinformation of it, talking about water. It's not talking about water. It's talking about our glorious participation with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And wow, that is a central passage to understanding and living out the life of Christ, Todd.
Amen, Brother Travis. And you know, saints, this is not something that is a side issue. This is an absolute gospel imperative, that we set aside our own lives, we deny ourselves to take up our cross and follow Jesus, or we're not following him. Now, as we've spoken of before, so much of evangelical Christianity today wants to divorce Jesus, who died on the cross, from what Jesus said, to conveniently live a life evading the cross. And such teachers Paul calls enemies of the cross of Christ in Philippians 3, this same Lord and Savior, who is the only way, truth, and the life, who shed his blood on the cross to redeem us, also gave us a condition to follow him, and that's to crucify that sinful nature, to deny self, take up the cross, and follow him, or we cannot be his disciple, and to forsake all in this world and love him supremely with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Go ahead, Brother Travis.
Todd, you know, we were, I was talking to someone the other day about this holiness preaching. And holiness is derived from a Greek word that is closely associated to the word wholeness, wholeness. There is no wholeness and there is no holiness unless you first preach brokenness, Todd. You got to be broken in order to be made whole. So a holiness preacher that does not first show us the cross and our need to die with Christ, to be broken with Christ, is just preaching self-righteousness, law, because holiness without the cross is no holiness at all. It's a Pharisaical message, Todd.
Yes, indeed. And there's people listening, even some well-meaning brothers, and I think you and I both agree that we started off on that track, but
absolutely.
The need to understand that the Spirit of holiness raised Jesus from the dead, if you will, and that's a term we find in Romans 1:4, as you know, Brother Travis, the Spirit of holiness, I believe that's the Holy Spirit, who resurrects, raises up those who be bowed down. The Lord, I'm glad you brought up that point, Brother. The Lord is quickening the further revelation to us that the cross must be at the center of the life of the true disciple of Jesus in order for the resurrection life of Christ to establish, to sustain, and to propel that saint in a life of abiding by the Holy Spirit of holiness. Romans 1:4, the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, will also quicken your mortal body, but not until that life is laid down. God is not going to raise up somebody who's living under their own power and strength and will and refuses to surrender in the cross. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that we're fools to believe that God's going to raise up someone who's not dead to self. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. 1 Corinthians 15:36. Jesus told us that to think that he's going to raise us up if we're not laid down, through the Apostle Paul it is to be foolish. Holiness in God's eyes requires the personal participation of the individual saint in an abiding cross relationship with Christ, where God alone is glorified and reigning. Attempting to abstain from all sin and live in holiness is a futile endeavor outside of the cross of Christ, the cross prescription that Christ gave us. He gave us that solution. Isaiah 37:31 shows us that the true remnant, literally mentions remnant, of Christ are those who are taking root downward, that is, daily death in the cross of Christ, and therefore being raised upward by Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. God is able to bring about that holiness, Brother Travis, as you know, and it's got to be a he must increase and I must decrease today truth and principle at work, participating, we are to participate with on a daily basis, and that alone is how holiness comes about, Brother Travis, correct?
Oh, brother, and yes, you know, that Spirit of holiness flows out of the rock, Todd. I'm reminded of the metaphor in the Old Testament that actual truth, but also figurative truth, that when Moses struck that rock, that's when the water of life began to flow, Todd. But to preach the Spirit of holiness and the flow of holiness in the life without preaching the smiting of the rock, that's our crucifixion with Christ right there, Todd. There will be no flow of the Spirit of holiness out of that rock.
Amen, brother. It's there's the principle of the cross is at the heart of this, Brother Travis. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. There is the cross, the actual event. There is the principle of the cross. There is the pattern of the cross. There's the lifestyle of the cross. The cross permeates everything we do and think and act, Todd, must flow out of the cross, dying to self, letting Christ then live through us and touch lives through us.
Amen. The Apostle Paul, I love what he said, and this is one of the central verses of your ministry, and that's so much a blessing and has really infected the lives of many in a blessed divine way, as it has mine. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12, the Apostle Paul writes, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And that's the way life works in and through the believer, the resurrection and the life himself, Jesus Christ, John 11:25, is as that person participates with Christ in always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And Brother Travis, the word that in both verses 10 and 11 seem to be pivotal, brother.
Oh, absolutely. That ties it all together, Todd. And, you know, your example about the people that went over and blessed those involved in taking the cross down, that act of love and forgiveness and blessing reminds me of, again, of Romans 12, where it says, bless those that curse you. Feed your enemy when he's hungry. Give him a drink. Now, that's not so much, we don't just do that because it's the right thing to do. We don't do it just because it blesses us, but it actually blesses our enemy. It blesses the person that we're corresponding with there, Todd, because when you take the wrath of an enemy and you bless that person in return, his own wrath against you is turned back against himself, Todd, as burning coals. This is the truth of the cross. His own wrath becomes God's burning coals on his own head that brings him to a conscious repentance of what he's doing, and he is converted by that act, Todd. Loving
Amen.
Somebody in return can convert an enemy and deliver that person. Forgiveness of an enemy has power, Todd, to convert and transform other people.
Amen. That's the end of Romans 12, saints, that Brother Travis is referring to. I find myself, Brother Travis, on not as much anymore, but I have to go back to this passage and let the mind of Christ dawn once again and deeper, hopefully, upon my life that is bent toward iniquity without Christ's grace presently. chapter 12, verse 14, and reading a little bit down, bless them that which persecute you, bless and curse not. I mean, you know, we're fighters. We want to get up in arms and all this stuff. When we see different news clips and stuff, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense or repay to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, that's a promise. God says he's going to repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Brother Travis, you know, I'm always touched, and I'd love to hear your intake on this, when, you know, a church group or that has been attacked, as is the recent case of a demon-possessed young man who went into a Bible study and killed 9 people, all of those people who were loving him with Christ's love. and trying to reach him for Christ. And these people, he killed nine of them, and those people forgave him. I mean, that could only be the love
example,
of Christ.
Oh, beautiful example, Todd. That was in Charleston. Absolutely. Beautiful example of what we're talking about.
Amen. And we see others like that, and it just, you know, last time I checked, I'm a believer. But it always shakes me and reminds me, Brother Travis, of the need for love. And even if we give our body to be burned and we don't have the love of God, we're nothing. It's all a big waste. And how does that love come about in us, brother? Because we are not love. God is love, and that's a fruit he produces in the abiding saint, right?
Absolutely, Todd. Now the natural man is capable of love. But it's a love that can only love in return for someone else's love. It's a tit for tat kind of love, or you do this for me and I'll do this for you. We have the capability of loving on a performance-based way, but only God, coming in the Spirit of God, can give you an unconditional love for people that blesses the just and the unjust. Sun comes up on the wicked as well as the good. I mean, that kind of love only comes from God, and it flows out of the cross, Todd. The cross is the great exhibit A for that kind of love. For God so loved the world when we were his enemies that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's the love of God, Todd, right there.
Amen. The performance of that love, the output, if you will, the fruit, is the Sermon on the Mount. The cross is at the center of that sermon, brother, isn't it? And without which it can
be. Oh, let me say
this,
Todd.
Yeah.
I want your listeners to hear this. Maybe the most important thing I'll say today, as far as I'm concerned, and that is, if you want to see who God is, read Matthew 5:38 through 48. And if you have any concept of God other than what it says in those 11 verses, throw it out, because Matthew 5:38 through 48 is who our God and Father in heaven is. That is his essence. That is his nature. And he cannot act apart from the nature that's set forth in those 11 verses, Todd.
Amen, brother. And that brings to focus verse 48, which is an often misused passage. In fact, it's used by the guys we talked about earlier who are strong on holiness but leave out the message of the cross, where Jesus says, be also perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That word perfect in the Greek, in the context, right there in the English, in the King James Bible, is not spiritual it's
not
sinless
moral
perfection. Yeah, he's talking about
perfection
loving,
of love, Todd. Perfect love.
Yeah, mature. Exactly. Exactly. And having the mindset that God has, as Brother Travis is bringing out, that he is explaining there, which includes verse 44, loving your enemies, blessing those that curse you. Don't pay them back with evil, but bless and pour water on the fire. Render to them good for their evil that they've rendered to you. And be perfect. Or mature in your thinking and perspective toward the lost and toward all others, even as your Father which is in heaven blesses all, the evil and the good, with sunshine and rain every day. And that's the perspective that we're to have toward them, brother, right?
Yeah, Todd, and you know, here's a deep one right here that a lot of people will argue with me about, but I'm seeing this all through the Bible, and that is God's vengeance is the cross. He destroys evil by dying, Todd. He destroyed the works of the devil by dying. He destroyed the old man by dying. He destroyed the world's wisdom through the cross, Todd. God's method of revenge and anger and destruction is the cross, to absorb the blows and take the blame and love people in return. And that's what destroys the enemy and overcomes evil with good, Todd.
Amen. Let me throw this in there, brother. to all of the listeners, if you're ready to go to the next level, if you will, and you're ready to seek a demotion instead of a promotion in the cross so that God can raise you up in his power and strength and might and grace to please him really and truly, I want to encourage you to find on Safeguard Your Soul, there's a category drop-down menu. If you click it and hit T, it's going to alphabetically show Travis Bryan III, or you can go to D for Daily Cross, and you'll find all his messages there. One of those messages, saints, is called God's Vengeance is the Cross. It's a highly revolutionary message for our lives, and we need this message, which is regrettably nearly completely forgotten and absent from the message of the modern gospel. And yet, as we look in the gospels, the original gospel of Jesus, which we have in the four gospels in the New Testament and throughout the teachings of especially the Apostle Paul, we see this cross everywhere. In fact, in our discussions, radio interviews, Brother Travis has shown historically throughout Scripture the cross on nearly every page of the Bible and introduced us to this central truth of the original gospel that must be uncovered, it must be revealed, it must be sought out and placed back where it belongs, at the center of the life of the Christian. And this is the wisdom of God, isn't it, brother? The cross of Christ.
It's the only way to understand God. The cross is the key to all the mysteries in the Bible, Todd. All the parables, all the truth of the Old Testament, everything comes together in this truth of the cross, Todd.
Amen, brother. You spoke of in the post, it's a short but potent post, God's Vengeance is the Cross. In fact, there's a radio program, saints, at the bottom that we did on that. It's a 30-minute one. Brother Travis, you spoke of victory through vulnerability, which is scary to the flesh, isn't it? Go ahead.
That's why we walk out as lambs in the midst of wolves, Todd. We take up the cross. We believe in God's hedge of protection better than our control mechanisms that we can use to protect ourselves. That's the cross.
Amen. You spoke of Romans 12. We will see that God's strange way of vengeance is the cross, Romans 12, 19 through 21, as we just read a moment ago. Mm-hmm. His vengeance that destroys evil is to overcome evil with good. That is the only way God has or will ever destroy evil, through Christ's ultimate cross and our participation with him in daily dying. That is the lifestyle of the cross, which is the only way, Brother Travis, correct me if I'm wrong, that we can actually love our neighbors, love our neighbors, and also love and bless those who hate us and persecute us, correct?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And look at the weapons that are talked about in the New Testament, these metaphorical weapons of faith. And the Word of God is our only offensive weapon in Ephesians 6. And the difference between divine weapons and carnal weapons, see, we don't understand these divine weapons that God has given us, but they're all found in the cross, Todd. Our vengeance against the enemy is by turning his own evil back against his own head, Todd, through the cross.
Amen, brother. Now, saints, as we close here, we've got about 30 seconds. I want to encourage you to examine whether or not your pastor is preaching the cross, even if he's preaching holiness. Remember, holiness comes by way of the cross, not by the way of the flesh. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Just as sin was conquered by the cross of Christ at Calvary, so sin in the life of the saint is conquered by the daily cross. Amen. It's time to stop trying harder and simply die harder. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening. And please avail yourself to the resources that will bless you, I believe, at safeguardyoursoul.com. Thank you, Brother Travis.
Thank you, God. Bye-bye.